And usually early Sunday afternoon, Clarence sends me the message on the audio format so that I can put it on our website. You can go to our website anytime and just listen to it and pass messages and so forth as well. And I'll take my notes from today's message and put them. They're on the website, so if you want to see them, you can see what I see when I do this. The website is clmfamily.org. It's just the initials of the church and the word family, clmfamily.org. If you have your Bible this morning, would you join me in Proverbs chapter 4? Proverbs chapter 4, right around the middle of your Bible after the book of Psalms. Proverbs chapter 4, and I give you a chance to let your fingers find the book and the reference, and then we can make our confession together as we trust God to speak to our hearts by His Holy Spirit through His Word today. So Proverbs chapter 4, if you have it, either way, keep looking. If you don't, it's all right. But if you'd like to join me in making this confession, the words are on the screen. I invite you to join me if you believe it. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Both of those words, very important throughout the book of Proverbs here. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. Sometimes wisdom is pictured like as a person, lady. And she will preserve you or guard and protect you. Love wisdom and she will keep you. Verse 7, this is kind of like a theme verse for today. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom and in all you're getting, get understanding. Would you read that verse with me? We may have different translations, but if you read it off the screen with me, we'll be on the same New King James translation. Would you read it out loud with me? Ready? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Let me just give you a title of the message today. Seek God for His wisdom. Seek God for His wisdom. And I'll try to remember to remind you of this throughout the message. But I would invite you to join me in really focusing on Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7 this week. Maybe you could memorize it if you haven't already and think about it and how you can apply it and how we can live it out. Seek God for His wisdom. Just as a real quick general overview, the book of Proverbs, the word Proverbs simply means wisdom sayings of various types. Some of the Proverbs are parables. Some of the Proverbs are, there's a comparison, especially get into like chapter 10 or so. There are a lot of comparisons. It'll make one statement, then say but, and then give the a corresponding or contrasting truth to go with it. Some of them are just observations. He said, I went by the field of a lazy person. I looked on it and I received instruction. So it's in the many different forms, but it's ultimately about wisdom. It's wisdom sayings. And there are proverbs like haste makes waste, all right? So that's just a proverb. It's not necessarily a promise, like, because sometimes haste is required, maybe on a job or something. But how many of us can say, I've done something so fast, I didn't have my head in the game and I had to go back and do it again or whatever. So there's a truth there. And that's really what the idea is on the Proverbs is that we look for a truth to live by, because ultimately, from whatever Proverbs there may be in the world, God's Proverbs are designed to draw us to God and His will. That's the difference of the Proverbs in Scripture. The Proverbs are designed to draw us to God and His will. So he says in verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom just simply means skills for living. And that can be in a secular sense. There was a man who was anointed by God. The Bible says God filled him with the spirit of wisdom to be a woodworker and a worker in jewels. And God used him to make the furnishings for the tabernacle and the temple. So there is a worldly wisdom. That doesn't mean it's evil. Of course, there is an evil wisdom of the world, but this is God's wisdom we're seeking. That's why I said, seek God for his wisdom, because again, skills for living is what we need. I can tell you, I want to be a wise man. I want to be a wise follower of Jesus. I want to be a wise husband. I could use help on that one. I want to be a wise father, a wise pastor. And so I want to seek the Lord so that I can grow in his wisdom. I haven't arrived. I want to learn. I want to keep hungry and keep growing for the Lord. So it's their skills for living. And one word for wisdom here that's translated wisdom means to have success or to prosper, to have success or to prosper. And I want to read you with just that in mind. I want to read you the first seven chapter or verses of this book. They're found in Proverbs chapter 1, but I want to read them from the New Living Translation. I just really like how this worded. It emphasizes the purpose. So here's what it says, Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 1 from the New Living says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Solomon wrote many of the Psalms, most of them, or the Proverbs rather. Verse 2, their purpose, so here's the purpose, is to teach people what? Wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Verse 3, their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives. See how God wants us to be successful. He just wants us to be successful in his ways rather than a success that would take us away from him. So to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. Again, it's ultimately about doing, not just learning. Verse 4, these proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let me pause there just a second. The Passion Translation says these proverbs will give to youth the understanding of their design and destiny. Think about that one a moment. How many of us wish that when we were young, we would have had a greater understanding of God's design and destiny for our lives? It may have helped us make some wiser choices, right? Thank God for his present grace, but let's take advantage of it if we can. So you see, the Proverbs are written for young people, written for parents to teach, written for us who are a little older to share some wisdom from the Lord to help them on the right path so that they would understand the design and destiny. Then verse 5 says, let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance, verse 6, by exploring the meaning in these Proverbs and parables. So it's not just kind of reading over it and brushing it off. Look for what it means. The words of the wise and their riddles. And then verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So that fear of the Lord, we don't really have an English word that really gives the full meaning of fear. In some contexts, it can mean terror or fright, but it also means reverence and awe that devotes one's entire being to the worship of God. It's that kind of fear that God calls us to have. That's how we can open our heart to wisdom. Before I share, I believe, three steps here in the book of Proverbs and other scriptures that will help us, because he said, get wisdom. So how do we get it? I will give you three steps I hope will be practical. But I just saw a little video clip on Friday in a devotion of, I don't know if he was a pastor, he never said his name. I don't know who he was. But I believe it was this verse was the theme verse of the day, Proverbs 1:7. And he said when he was in high school, he took tennis. And he said, when I first saw my high school tennis coach, he was an older man. He had arthritis in both shoulders and arthritis in both legs. He thought, I'm scared he's gonna fall down or he might have a heart attack. And he said, that coach knew every angle of that court. And when the coach hit the ball, he had that high schooler running all over the court. And when that student hit it back, when he got to it, he hit it right back to where the coach was standing. He didn't even have to move. He said, I learned a valuable lesson that way. Not just a tennis lesson. I learned a life lesson on that man had wisdom in how to not work just hard, but to work smart. And that's what I hope to convey, that as we seek God for wisdom from his word, that it will be skills for living, not just playing tennis, but skills for our, I mean, my goodness, we need wisdom in our relationships with our family and friends. I want God's wisdom in my priorities. I want to let some things ride for a greater priority, if that's what it means, because I don't want to just live. I want to be fruitful. I don't want to be busy. I want to be productive. So wisdom in my education. I hope I'm a lifelong learner, whether I'm in school or not. I want to be a lifelong learner. I need God's wisdom in my education, in my health, in finances. What area would we not want God's wisdom in? So that's, I want to encourage you to join me to say, I want to go after God's wisdom too, and I'm willing to seek him for that, to pay the price, so to speak, because that says wisdom is the principal thing. One translation says it's of utmost importance, so pay the price, do what it takes to get it. Because the Bible says weak money can't even compare to wisdom. I hope to show you that sometime, maybe in another message, because in January, I hope to share messages out of Proverbs here. Let me give you this first one. How do we get God's wisdom? Chapter 2 of Proverbs, beginning in verse 1. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. I'll pause right there. Here's the first step, I believe, to getting God's wisdom is that we treasure God's wisdom. To treasure God's wisdom. And he says, my son, these are words of parents to son and daughters, but it also reflects the heart of a God who is a father to us. He's our father in heaven, and these proverbs reveal the heart of a father for his sons and daughters. That's why I said he wants us to prosper. He wants us to be blessed and successful, but not in ways that would take us away from him, but in ways that are in line with his will and his purpose for our lives. So to treasure God's wisdom, he says, receive my words. And I'll just go ahead and read a few of these verses. Receive my words and treasure. Would you say treasure? Treasure my commands within you. Verse 3. So that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. Again, there's the treasure. Now, you may have noticed that several words there were like, listen, pay attention, give me your ear. In these opening chapters, you'll see that phrase over or something similar over and over again, stressing the importance of giving God our full attention so that we can receive from him. How many of you remember the name Dr. Joyce Brothers? Anyone remember her? I read something just recently that she said. She said, how many of you heard the phrase, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery? Here's what she said, listening, not imitation, may be the sincerest form of flattery. Listening. Because if you're speaking and I'm really listening to you, I'm trying to not be distracted and focus in, that shows that I value what you have to say. So to value God, to say, I'm tuning in, I'm gonna try to limit distractions here, because our mind starts to wander anyway, it seemed like, when we want to read the scripture or pray and worship, I battle it up here. Y'all think I'm just up here all, I have to keep my mind focused on the Lord throughout. I mean, the whole from the morning on through, when I get up on through the service, there's a battle sometimes that takes place in my mind. That's why I'm not playing, I'm not exaggerating when I say I appreciate your prayers because I need them. I need to have the right focus on the Lord so that I can share what I believe he's put in my heart for you. I don't want anyone to look like thinking I'm something. I want you to think God is something. To draw to him. So he says, give God your attention, treasure what he says. And then he gives this assurance in verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you'll get to know God better and find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. See, the Lord is the source of wisdom here and understanding. So the Lord gives wisdom. His word, that's where we get wisdom and understanding. And finally, verse 7, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk uprightly. So again, God's word is a source of wisdom. God's words are wise words. Let's treasure it. Let's cherish it. Let's hide it in our hearts, because it will give us the proper reverence and awe of God to do his will. I read this, I mentioned Mary at the first part of the service. The Bible says this about her in Luke 2:19. It says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary was a woman of God's word, a young teenage lady who would give birth to the living word, but she was a woman of the word before that as well. She knew God's word. She sang a song in Luke chapter 1, and over half a dozen Old Testament scriptures came out of her in that short song. She had it stored up in her heart. I want to be like that. I want to be like that. So when a temptation arises or a problem or a crisis or problem, I want God to rise up within me with truth and wisdom in how to handle it. So the first step is to treasure God's wisdom. The second is to seek God's wisdom. So we treasure God's wisdom. And then because we seek what we treasure, we seek God's wisdom. And I'll read you a scripture here in just a minute if you want to write it down about Solomon. The Bible says that Solomon loved the Lord. Let me just give you the references for those listening as well. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, or I'm sorry, 3 through 14 talk about it. It says Solomon loved the Lord, and he went to offer a sacrifice and sacrificed 1,000 sacrifices to the Lord. And he went to sleep that night, and the Bible says God appeared to him in a dream, and he said, I'm going to give you a blank check. You can ask me for anything you want, and I'm going to give it to you. Wow. What will we ask for? This is what Solomon said. Let me join you back. Just if you want to stay in Proverbs, I'll be back. But let me read this to you. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, says, because you have set me on the throne of my father David, I'm young, I'm inexperienced, and you've got a great people for me to govern and lead. Verse 9 says, therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge or to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. Boy, I pray that for our leaders today and our country, that they would be willing to seek the Lord for wisdom from above and to know which decisions to make that are for the greater good. And he says, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? Verse 10, so this speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. And God said, because you've asked this thing, you've asked for a wise and understanding heart and have not asked long life, nor riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but you've asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. This is what God said. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart. Notice how, again, wisdom and understanding are linked together, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall anyone like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, I will lengthen your days. God says, I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for because I like what you asked for. You wanted wisdom, you wanted understanding, I'm going to grant you that. I believe that's God's heart for all of us. If we want it, he will grant it. So get wisdom, seek him for it. And Solomon had a chance to apply that wisdom early on, because two ladies came before Solomon one day, and they were moms, two baby sons, one dead, one living. And they both claimed that the living son was hers. One mom said, this is my son. Her baby is the dead child. My son's alive. And the other mom said, no, her baby's dead. This is my son. My child is alive. So he's got to decide who's the right mom if either one of them are. How are you going to do that? God gave him wisdom. And he said, okay, go get a sword. And the servants went and got a sword. He said, all right, cut the baby right in half and give them both a half. And one woman said, no, don't hurt the baby. Give the baby to her. And Solomon said, give her the baby. She's the one who's the real mom. Do you see how practical that is, though? That's the wisdom that we can seek the Lord. The Bible says this, if you want to write these verses down, in James chapter 1. Let me read it to you. James chapter 1. We can put the words on the screen. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. But some of you are probably familiar. There's a scripture that says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, right? Here's the context of it. I believe that applies anyway. But here's how it really, the context in James 1, 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Would you just turn to someone next to you and say, I know it's not easy, but count it all joy. You got to do that by faith, right? I still struggle with that one. I'm going to be honest. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. But here's the key. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or perseverance. But let perseverance have its perfect work that you may be, that word means mature, that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Isn't that what God wants for all of us anyway? That we would grow in Christ's likeness and that we're not lacking, but he knows our faith has to be tested in order for it to grow. So he says then in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom though, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Aren't you glad God gives generously and without holding our past over our head? When we ask him, and when we repent of it, that he forgives, and I may carry it in my heart, others may remind me, but I thank God that's not how he operates. He says, if you want wisdom, you ask me in faith, and I'm gonna give it generously because I want you to be wise, and I'm not gonna hold your past against you. I'm gonna give it to you because I'm good and I want you to be wise like me. So then he says though, but we gotta ask in faith because he says in verse 6, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts, in other words, if we doubt God and we doubt his word, we'll be like a wave of the sea, up and down in our faith, driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7 says, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. So we have to ask the Lord and ask him in faith. And here's, again, the context is when we're facing trials and our faith is being tested, how about this? Let's ask God for wisdom in how to persevere and still have his joy in our heart. And let's ask God for wisdom in how to grow closer to him and how to grow more like him. I believe I'm learning that in life is that whatever we face, ultimately, I can handle it in a wise way. It can draw me to the Lord and to his will, or it can distance me from God. I want to be drawn to God and his will and to grow more like him. So treasure God's wisdom, then to seek God's wisdom, and then finally, live God's wisdom. Treasure, seek, and live. Would you say that with me? Treasure, seek, and live. So we treasure God's wisdom, we seek God's wisdom, and then we live God's wisdom. Remember, wisdom are skills for living. In the Bible context, it's skills for godly living. So I want to encourage you this week on Wednesday to read with me Proverbs chapter 1. And then on Thursday, read Proverbs chapter 2, a proverb a day through the month of January. And just ask God for wisdom. And then when you read, look for truths to live by that are in harmony with the rest of Scripture. For example, if you're still in Proverbs, would you look at chapter 1? Let me just show you two verses real quick. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Verse 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. So this is wisdom for us as parents that we need to equip and prepare our sons and daughters to stay on the right path and say no to evil and ungodly influences because they're out there just like they are for us. Now, it's up to the son and daughter to embrace the wisdom and live it out, but we are to seek to guide them, prepare them that way. So that's a truth that we can apply and live by. I think of it like this, Proverbs, proverb. If you think of pro and con, pro is a positive, con is a negative. All right, y'all help me now. Remember in grammar, a verb is what kind of a word? An action word. So pro, positive, verb, action. Proverbs are a call to positive action. So that helps me to keep it, I think, on the living part, living it out. Sadly, Solomon didn't continue living by God's wisdom. End up causing him, cause family, cause the country in his place because of his position. Let me read you this verse in James 3:13. James 3:13, the Bible says this. I talked about wisdom from above and below. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct or way of life that his works are done in the meekness or humility of wisdom. Do you see how wise and understanding affects our way of life? It's how we live, and it's linked to meekness or wisdom because humility says, I recognize my need for God, and I'm seeking him. Seek God for his wisdom. Would you say that with me? Seek God for his wisdom. Would you say, treasure God's wisdom? Seek God's wisdom. Live God's wisdom. I want to close with this. Last two verses, if you just want to write them down. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. The wisest way for any of us to live is to believe in Jesus as Lord and follow him every day of our lives. He's the ultimate wise one. See, he died for our sins on the cross. He rose again to forgive us and bring us to God. We can know God as our Father through faith in Jesus, and he is our ultimate source of wisdom. This is what it says, last verse, 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. In Christ, he became wisdom for us from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. You want to be wise? Let's seek the Lord. Let's seek him. Let's seek his wisdom. Let's seek him even in the book of Proverbs. I want to encourage you, if you're not already doing a Bible reading plan or something, and this isn't going to interfere, join me, if you would, in reading these Proverbs and seeking the Lord that we can live this out. So will you seek him? Ultimately, not what I'm doing, is will you seek him for yourself and your own benefit in walking in his wisdom? Can we stand together as we just share a little closing song before we share communion together? Lord, we just want to thank you that you are our wisdom, that wisdom is available to us. We don't have to live foolishly. But Lord, there is that contrast of your heavenly wisdom and earthly, sometimes foolish wisdom. So Lord, help us to choose wisely and just draw us close to you and draw us to your heart and your will. And I pray that maybe there are different areas that each of us need wisdom in right now in this season of our lives. Whatever it is, I pray that we would seek you for it, and I pray that you would grant it and then help us to live it out for your glory, for our good, and even as a testimony to others. In Jesus' name.